Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I'm so glad today is Wednesday, you guys, my favorite day of the whole entire week. I am so thankful. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. Okay, so let's go right into it because we have a very busy show today, and I don't want to miss not one second. I want to be able to give you all that is cooking over here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Today, we have Kaylin Carson. She is the founder of Choose Grace International. She has a summit coming up called Summit of Grace. This is going to be so good. We're talking about abortions and not being able to have children and miscarriages and things like that. Just a lot's going on with this, with her summit, which is going to be so good and so powerful. Healing and deliverance for a lot of people that are struggling because they maybe made the decision to have an abortion. So this is going to be really good for that as well. If you've had one, this is a good summit to go to. They have psychiatrists, ministers, everything that you, testimonials. I'm in the summit, so it's really good. I'm sharing my testimony about that. So it should be encouraging, uplifting, and freeing. And healing, that's what I would say, too. Also, author Natalie Brumfield, she's coming on today, and she has a book called The House That Love Built. This is a nice children's book. It's talking about, you know, just mixed matching of families. Sometimes you don't have to be a match to be a family, so I'm so excited to hear about how this book came about. And you know my girl, comedian Gina G with the Trinity T, and what she say? She's going to be joining us, of course, in all of this. And then we have personal fitness trainer Elizabeth Brooks, and we're talking about today. I know Elizabeth's been on already, but I wanted Elizabeth to talk about all of this, the weight gain going in for the 40 and up folks, like around the midsection and things like that. So we're going to be talking about that, how your body changes and stuff like that. But first, I got to get into ministerial moment. And then we'll get on with, well, this is part of the show, Ministerial Moment. Let me get on with the weather. Let me go ahead and do that real quick before we get started. Okay, so today in D.C. is mostly cloudy, 64 degrees right now. Our high today is going to be 75. It is cool, you guys. The weather is dropping. Detroit, you're 64 degrees right now. And your high is going to be 79 degrees today, all sunshine, which is awesome. 79 degrees in London, that's your high right now. You're waking up to 53 degrees, all sunshine for you guys too, which is awesome as well. We know the fires are still going, so the air quality is terrible. It's unhealthy right now in LA, but you are going to go up to 90 degrees today. And you got that haze going around your sunshine. We're still lifting you guys up in prayer in LA and California. Let's see, Atlanta, you're 64 degrees. You got showers all day and all night. Your high is 72 degrees and you're waking up to showers tomorrow. South Australia, you're 75 degrees. That's your high. You're very windy, partly cloudy, 69 you're waking up to, and you got a lot of wind coming. Hawaii, you are 52 degrees right now, waking up to your high is going to be 70 degrees, and you're waking up to 55 degrees, both partly cloudy today and tomorrow. Kenya, you're 82 degrees right now. That's your high. You're waking up to thunderstorms tomorrow, 71 degrees. You're waking up to Puerto Rico, 81 degrees. You got sunshine now, but after 3 o'clock, you're going to be all rain and thunderstorms. So be ready for that. Waking up to 67 degrees. Portugal, 73 degrees, partly cloudy. And that is your high. You're waking up to 48 degrees. Woo-wee, that's cold. And your high tomorrow is going to be 67 degrees. I think fall has come on time. I think before time we've had these warmer falls and things like that. But I think now we are at these normal temperatures for our fall. Well, we'll see. You know, we don't know what's going on with the climate and all of that stuff. We don't know what's happening. Anyway, we're getting ready to take a break real quick. We're going to take a sponsorship break. And then we're going to come back with Ministerial Moment and all of the wonderful guests. So we'll be right back after this message.
The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16, 19, Jesus tells Peter that he's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we could do the same thing. The Keys Against the Enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things that's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy.
Yeah, just say anything you want, have some fun, and at the very end say, and now you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Okay.
Have some fun. We're starting right now.
Hey, this is Rufus Troutman, and you're listening to Dr. Gina Radio Show. Yeah. Now, I don't remember what I'm supposed to say.
Oh, pretty close. So, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Yeah. You're now listening to Dr. Oh, when we go right here. You're now listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Bye bye. You're now listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Dr. Gina Radio Show. Yeah.
All right. All right, you guys. So listen, I'm going to go ahead with ministerial moment, and then we'll go on to our guests. So I wanted to just say that something was in my spirit yesterday, and I really want, and this morning, you know, us as believers, you know, we need to really, I think that, it's just, we need to see God more. I think it's time to press in a little more. I know we've said that with everything going on, but I'm particularly talking about the division that's going on in our midst. I mean, there's black and this white and all of this stuff going on, and with the election and the Democrat and the Republican and the black and the white and all of this stuff going on. And in the midst of all of that, while we're worrying about all that, we're not operating in power. There's not a revival happening. There's, you know, people are getting healed, but not in the massive groves as all of the believers that's out there. It should be so many more healings, so many more healthy marriages, so many more peace of mind and walking in authority. And I can go on and on and on with the fruit of the Spirit of God, but there's not happening. And in the midst of all of that, we have all of these different, all of this stuff that's denying Christ and all of this stuff. And we got all of this stuff anti and all of these things that are happening. And I just believe that with all of these divisions happening, and it's hardening the heart of the body of Christ, we're not operating in love. We're overlooking the purpose and plan that God has for us on this earth. We're supposed to demonstrate his love. We're supposed to act in compassion. We're supposed to be persevering over obstacles. Yet we're letting obstacles beat us down and hold us captive. We're operating under the power of bondage, and not under the power of the blood of Jesus. And so I just really want to just say that it is time for the church, the body of Christ, the church that's in, the God that is in us, our Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus to dwell in us, that we may operate in the fruit of his Spirit and really operate on earth as it is in heaven. It is really time. If we have not gotten shook or awakened or stirred or shook up or anything in that type of caliber by this time, and we don't understand that, this is the times that we're in. These things are going to happen. You know, rather it is Joe, rather it's Trump, rather it's white, rather it's black. You know, God don't even see none of that. It is so irrelevant to him, all of these things that we're so concerned about, all of these things that we hold dear to us and we're missing the bigger picture. You know, there's people that are suffering. There's people that are going through stuff. You know, even with this pandemic, while all of these other things is going on, you know, this warfare of, you know, with this election, you know, people are falling by the wayside. There's people that are depressed. There's people that are, you know, committing suicide. There are people that have given up hope. There are people that are losing their homes, their minds. It is an actual pandemic that is going on. Maybe the numbers are off. Maybe the media are liars. So what? I know a few people that have died from this thing. I know some people that have lost their wives, their spouses, their family members to this thing. And that is mentally disturbing to some people. Where is the compassion for the people that have nothing or no one during this time? What about the people that are struggling and don't know how they're going to make ends meet? We're so busy trying to be right that we are so wrong as a people. We're so busy trying to make a point that we don't even see the will of God through all of this. And I just urge the body of Christ to wake up, shake up, shake yourself off from all of this nonsense. It is not important. If you seek God first, all things will be added onto you. If you seek God first for his wisdom and his knowledge, he will order your steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He will lead you who to vote for. He will lead you why to vote for them. He will order your steps from the days on. I mean, even if we elect somebody, whomever it is, we still got to deal with issues that we're so distracted by right now. How are we going to overcome the division that's going on right now? How are we going to heal from that? After everybody's true feelings and emotions and faces have been exposed, how are we going to be delivered from that? You know, the hatred, the dislike, the who's right, who's wrong. How are we going to be delivered from that in the days to come? So what? Now somebody's in office. So what? Somebody been voted again. Now what? I think that we need to look beyond that because that's how God looks. He knows he's the author and the finisher. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the in between. We only know in part. But if our steps, if we seek him first and his righteousness, all things will be added on to us. And that would be wisdom and knowledge and understanding. What happened to one nation? You know, maybe all y'all don't believe in the same God. Maybe everybody don't believe in Jesus, but we're supposed to be one nation. We're a divided nation right now. And it's so, so grieving my spirit. You know, I prayed, me and my friend today, we prayed over our nation, but we wouldn't pray on what man was going to be in office. We prayed for the body of Christ and we prayed for our nation because it definitely needs a healing. It is too much confusion and too much stiff neck and too much hardening of heart and too much meanness going on. I've never seen so much meanness in my life. If you're so sure about what you believe in, then why are you so mean about it? You know, teach people and tell people your thoughts in love. You know, why you got to be so mean about it? It's so much meanness going on. One nation. And let me just finish it all the way through because it is written. One nation under God. Since we're talking about the Constitution and the rights and all of this stuff, it says one nation under God. And I think we're falling short on both ends. We're not one nation and we sure ain't operating under God. So I'm calling for a deliverance for the nation and especially calling for the rising of the believers. Where are you with your love and your compassion and what we're supposed to be doing on earth as it is in heaven? Where you at? And that's all I got to say. I don't care if I get letters. I don't care if I get y'all rebuke me. I don't even care. But I'm going biblical terms. That's what this show was based on. My show, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, was based on biblical principles, and I'm never going to deter from that, ever. I'm going to always stand my ground on that because you can't take me out of here, and you sure can't do nothing with my soul. So if I'm serving him, I'm going to serve him to the fullest, to what is pleasing unto him, and I'm going to say what thus say the Lord, and I'm going to leave it in his hands. But I say it with love because my heart's desire is for us to be one. My heart's desire is for us to be united. My heart's desire is that nobody should be naked. Nobody should be hungry. Nobody should be without shelter. Nobody should be broken or beat up or mistreated or killed or murdered or any of that. That's my desire. The love of the Father, the mind of Christ. And I'll leave it at that. I love you all. And this has been the Ministerial Moment with Gina R. Prince. All right. So we're not going to take a commercial. I kind of wish we could because we need to transition. But we're going to just go into this because I really love this woman. I met her on. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break. Thank you, Dawn. We're going to take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I'm super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and He ministered to me, He put that in my spirit, Health and Soul. And He said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what He wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey. And so.
We're just going to say whatever you want. And now you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Hello, I'm Eddie LaVert. I'm with the OJs. And whenever I need some medical attention, whenever I need any kind of attention, whenever I need something for my ears, for my heart, for my soul, I tune in to Dr. Gina's radio show.
I love it. I love it.
I like that. Let's just keep it like that.
We're going to, but can you just say Dr. Gina's Radio Chat?
Radio Shack, right?
Yeah, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Shack.
Chat, like chatting, like having a chat. We're talking chat, yeah.
All right, go for it.
I love it here at Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Yes.
Outstanding. I'm getting shivers.
All right. So we're back, you guys. I had to take a minute, and me and my guest, Natalie, we had to take a minute, and Dawn had to take a minute. God is moving. I'm so glad that I have the team that's with me right now, and we're all praying and in agreement with each other about just what we would like for this. For the nation, we just want some peace and some joy and some order, most importantly. Natalie, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you have a brand new book called The House That Love Built. I know we were talking behind, and your last name is pronounced Brumfield.
Yep.
Brumfield. Natalie Brumfield, the author of The House That Love Built. Okay, so before we get into the book, I know you were telling me something. Do you mind sharing it with, you know, just the audience about, you know, how God was moving through your prayer this morning and just, you know, maybe
Absolutely.
Some encouraging words?
Yes. I was alone this morning. My husband took the littlest children so I could just have the house quiet this morning, and I was just praying in the spirit, and you know, when you're just praying in the spirit, you just feel his emotions, you know, mm-hmm. because we don't know really what he's saying through our prayers when we're praying in the spirit, but I could just feel his emotions of love. And that verse about if you do all these things in my name, do all these healings, if you drive out demons in my name, if you do all these things, but you don't have love, then you're just a sounding gong. It's a soundless gong. It's nothing. And what really, you know, drives our world, our health, everything is the powerful love of God. And we get to as his darlings of creation, we get to receive that love, and we get to pour it out through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're talking about. Like, our nation needs to come back to that. We need him. We need that relationship individually where we know who we are because we're listening to who he is. And we're listening to what he says over us, and we're receiving that love. And through that, we are communing and receiving the real love, and through the Holy Spirit just pours it out through us. And that's where it really shakes the nation, and it wakes the nation up, and it unites the nation, because it's only under his love. Everything else is not real. It's not real. It's humanitarian. It's, you know, it doesn't move. It doesn't last. It's not eternal. And so we have to continually look to him for what things should look like. What does a nation look like, God? What does a family look like? What does love look like? What does being a neighbor look like?
Yes.
We need to look back to the Father.
Yes, and yeah. I love that. So now that's what I love, because that's in your spirit for sure, because I know you wrote about that. That's part of your message in your book, where you're talking about you don't have to. What is it that you're saying? Because I have it written down, where you're saying that you don't have to be a match to be a family. Yeah, tell me about that. Tell us about that.
So that's really how it all came to be. I knew for a long, long time I was going to write a children's book. The Lord kept on telling me through different ways that I was going to write a children's book from when I was real young. And I just hadn't done it. And so I was like, well, Lord, I don't know what you want me to write about. I don't want to just do it and not know what you want me to write about. And that he was just kind of quiet. I don't know. I just was, you know, living my life, you know, serving him and just receiving all the good things. My husband and I were foster parents. We started that right when we were married. And so that, you know, that was our reality, work for ministry at our local church. And that was something I've known I always going to do since I was little as well. And through that experience, I was really kind of seeing how people respond to a mixed family. And I don't know why, but it shocked me. And the Lord really taught me a lot through it. But they ask questions, Natalie, because it's not around them, because they don't see it. It's not that they're trying to be mean. It's not because they're trying to be narrow-minded. Not always. I mean, sometimes people are trying to be mean. I mean, this should be real. But a lot of times it's curiosity. You know, we couldn't go anywhere, like in the grocery store, at a restaurant, without, you know, people staring, asking questions. And there were some great responses too, don't get me wrong, but it's just, it was interesting to experience it up close. And we had to, you know, continually put our hearts before the Lord, like, how do we respond to this? And like, how do I answer well, you know, about being a mixed family? And, you know, they want to know, are they yours? All these kind of interesting questions. Yeah. That are complicated. When you foster, you're taking care of children and trying to help biological family get back on their feet. You know, it's not like, you know, so it's like really complicated. And anyway, on top of that, then now let's fast forward. We've had all these experiences. We've been fostering, I don't know, 5 years at that point. And then my oldest son, our oldest adopted son, our three oldest are adopted now, and our oldest son was experiencing questions at school. Now, he's always experienced questions, and we always celebrate their story, so we're very open with our babies about their story, and we celebrate them, you know, and how adoption is something that the Lord invented, not humans. And me and Daddy are adopted through, you know, our salvation. But then also there's a physical adoption on earth, you know, that the Lord wants to take care of children who need a mom and a dad, a structure, you know, when that fails, okay, when that doesn't happen. And there's lots of reasons why that happens. But so we celebrate the story. They love adoption. But then all of a sudden our oldest son, he's 9, is getting questions at school. And not bad questions, but so many that he would come to me and start crying. So started, you know, easy enough, like, why is your mama white? You know, and he said, well, I'm adopted, and explained things like that. Well, it kind of you know, he feels alone in it. And then one of his best friends, who's African-American, in his class, so they go to multicultural school, they go to multicultural church. It doesn't stop the questions because you don't always see it. So one of his best buddies in his class, he sits by him, African-American. He's like, well, why is your skin brown but your hair straight? And Braxton would tell him, well, you know, my biological mother was Caucasian. My biological father is Yemen. You know, I'm not exactly like my brother and sister who are African-American. So, you know, the thing of the siblings. And so, but that wasn't enough. And the boy kept on asking, I don't understand. And I told him, baby, it's not that you could ever explain it. It's that children, you know, they're just asking because they don't understand it. They don't understand what they don't know.
Right.
And they've never seen anyone like you. They've never seen anyone like you that has a white mama. They've never seen anyone like you that has, you know, African-American brother and sister, and then a white baby sister and a white baby brother. I'm like, we are a sign and wonder of God.
Yes. And let me ask you a question. You know, so is the book to help the children, actually, the questions that they would ask, this is to help them understand it, or is this for encouragement for the children that are living in the situation?
Right. It started that way with that, where, okay, children are growing up and they don't understand adoption. They don't understand really identity because they're asking, why do you look like this? Okay. So I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, there does need to be a book about, because I was already writing the book when this was going on. And I was like, we need adults and children alike, need God's language on family. Mm-hmm. We have defined family to a way that, you know, it's good. I mean, it's good, but we need to understand that God is the builder of family.
Yes.
God is the one who did family. He's the one that created every type of person, and we're all beautiful in the way we made. We're dreams of God that he designed in the mother's womb. And so there's nothing wrong with any way anyone is beautifully made, their skin color, their eye color, their hair color. Mm-hmm. So my point in writing the book was like, hey, God builds family. Let me tell you what he says about you. As a child of him, you were a special gift, that you were created as a dream of him, and that he has written your story, and he has all these plans for your life. And so it kind of takes you in the beginning of the book about our that God crafted each person all to look different. And then, hey, he built this family all together to be a family.
I love it. I love it because I love it because it exemplifies the way we're supposed to be on this earth. We're all different.
Right.
It doesn't even matter about any of that, the color and the shade and the, all of that. It's about oneness under God. We are one.
Right.
We are created under. He created us. He created everything. He created us in his image for one and for all. Like, even before Jesus came, God created us in his image. You know, every one of us, some before Jesus and some after Jesus, but we have been created in his image. We didn't do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
I love this. It shows unity. I love it. I just see a rainbow. I see, like, you know, chocolate, vanilla, almond. I just see all of that in your family, like different colors, shades, and just a beautiful knit family. I just see knitness and oneness and just such a good example of God's love. Tell everybody where they can get the book.
So you can get it anywhere where books are sold online. You know, there's Amazon is the easiest for our family. We do a lot of things on Amazon. And then there's Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, everywhere online.
Everywhere.
Yeah. You just type in the book title, The House That Love Built, Natalie Brumfield, and it'll pop up and you can get it anywhere and see where the deals are, because sometimes Amazon does crazy sales and then, you know, some places might do a good sale. And then as far as that's where you get the paper book, the paperback, the hard book you have to buy from me. So you would just DM me on social media. And I can get you that link. It's a private link.
Tell everybody where they can follow you. Tell everybody okay, where they can follow you on social media.
On Instagram, it's The House That Love Built, and you'll see it pop up. And then on Facebook, it's The House That Love Built Book.
I love you, Natalie Broomfield.
Oh, you're
the first Broomfield I ever met in my life. I love it, though. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love being on the show. It's been an honor.
Oh, I got to have you on again at some point. We'll do some kind of panel thing one day, and I'll have you on if you don't mind.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Gina.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, welcome. I'll see you on Instagram.
I'll see you there. Love you, girl. Bye.
I love you too, sister. All right. I love that. Gina G, we got so much going on. Gina G, what's going on, my sister?
Nothing much. Good morning, beautiful people. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Okay, so we're going to get the trending tea right after Elizabeth Brooks. We're going to talk to her about fitness. So let's get into that. Then we're going to do Gina G with the trending tea. And then we got Kaylin coming. So Elizabeth Brooks, are you there?
Doing.
Hey. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voices and to know you guys are doing well.
Yeah, so listen, let's go ahead and get into it so you can know what direction we're in. Gina G, she got into her fitness, girl. Y'all know we've been praying for her. She got it. She got in her fitness. It's called Funny Fitness. Is that what it's called, Gina?
Yeah, Fitting Funny Fridays.
Fit and Funny Friday. So she does that on Fridays with another comedian. So it's really, really good. And I love it. Tell everybody about it. What was the concept about it? Tell everybody about it.
Well, I've just been on this journey for a minute, and I was just working out live one day, and she called me, after the live, and she was, giving me her problems. And I told her, well, you need to work out and relieve your stress. And she was like, well, I'll work out with you. I said, well, let's just do it online. And there we go. Here we are.
Funny Fridays.
And fitness.
Yeah. So, and it's funny, and they are doing different workouts and stuff like that. But I brought that up because I wanted us to kind of come in and ask you a question. So I know you don't have a lot of time, Elizabeth, but I wanted to talk about women and men, and you can pick whichever one you feel you talk about, men or both or whatever, but women or both or whatever, but I wanted to talk about what's this thing going on around our midsection when we get past 40 that just like, what is that? Like, we can see fluffy abs where we can see shredded abs, and now we see fluffy abs. What's that?
So common, weight gain in midlife is a common tendency. It's super common. It's an increased tendency for central fat distribution, as we like to say. It's super common. So what happens is there is a gradual loss of muscle mass. Now, this is something we all have to kind of put our minds around. We are actually losing muscle every day. So if you are not doing things to replace that muscle, in other words, resistance training, because cardio will not do that. You can run and run and run and run yourself to the death. You can join as many marathons, but running does not put on muscle mass. Now, it does do some strengthening of your bones and the hips. So there is, I'm not saying that there's no benefit to it. But when you're running, you are basically doing cardio, and cardio is for your heart and lungs. And what's happening as we get older, especially as we get into those ages of 40 and above, that time when we like to call midlife, we're losing muscle. And so as a result of losing that muscle, we end up more fat. And the loss of muscle, remember, muscle is the key component in driving your metabolic rate. Now, we talk about metabolic rate. Sometimes we talk about metabolism. And that is basically a fancy word for how many calories your body burns at rest. And so the more muscle you lose, the slower your metabolic rate. In other words, your body is burning fewer calories at rest. So as we get older, we end up getting more fat just because we're losing muscle. So if you're not really weight training, you're going to have, you're going to have a bigger effect of that. Listen, I have to tell you guys a story. I started putting on weight as well. You know, just because I'm a personal trainer doesn't mean I'm not still a woman. I'm 53. You know, I'm still struggling with the same things that other people are struggling with. Now, probably not to the same extent because I already have exercise as a regular part of my healthy lifestyle, and I already eat pretty well. But I was still putting on weight. I had to make some dramatic changes to my diet. You know, I couldn't eat 2,000 calories a day like I was when I was 25 and bodybuilding.
It started after menopause for me, though. That's when it started for me.
After menopause. Because, you know, what is also happening, these changes are a result of aging. Sometimes those changes, that increased body fat is a result of decreased estrogen levels after menopause, and other unique, you know, in things that influence our healthy lifestyle measures. So we really want to remember that this is something that's super common. It's also common. I'm not just talking about women. It's also common among men.
And men.
Do you guys notice that the guys who you just love, they have these little pot bellies?
Yeah. And then some of them got fluffy abs. That's what I'm talking about. Fluffy abs isn't that dangerous to have? Isn't that kind of something that the doctors look out for, though, that midsection fluff, that area there of fat that you don't want to clog up your arteries or where your heart is? Isn't that something that
that's
we need
right.
to be aware of, and that is very important for us to do something different with our diet to minimize that?
It is absolutely true. When we put on weight in our midsection area, it increases our risk for heart disease. Now, you know, everybody, a lot of people like to talk about cancer, and cancer is like the leading cause of death for people as they get 50 and above. But heart disease still kills more people total, men, women, across the world. So heart disease is still a big issue. And as we put on weight in the midsection, it is a clear indicator that we're increasing our risk for heart disease. We're increasing our risk for hypertension and other cardiovascular diseases.
Yeah.
In addition, weight gain in midlife contributes to other health risks, including cancer, which I just mentioned. It increases our health risk for arthritis, mood disorders. You know, and you'll notice a lot of people. You might know people who now they need
mood
to have drugs to regulate your moods, right? And even sexual dysfunction, you know, it impacts us head to toe. So we want to be so careful about monitoring our weight gain as we get older. And sometimes what happens is, you know, you're so busy with your life, and this happened with me. I'm like, you know, hey, I'm fit. You know, I'm working out. I'm teaching classes. You know, I'm personal training. But, you know, when I get on the scale, it wasn't looking pretty. You have to have a reality check and say, hey, you know, just because you're getting older, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you should not be
just
able to fit any of the clothes in your closet. You
That's
know,
right.
just because you're getting older. You have to take a minute and, you know, just evaluate where you are in your life. You know, physicians screen women over 40 for overweight and obesity. They screen men for overweight and obesity as we get older. And there are so many, additional health risks that we take on when we gain that weight.
Yes. Listen, I love for you telling us this, and I love you being transparent and everything, because I went through the same journey. Menopause shook me up, changed my life. I had to change my diet. I couldn't eat the same. I couldn't drink the same. I couldn't do the same things. It's a life-changing situation, especially if you want to live healthier and longer. Tell everybody where they can follow you, Elizabeth.
Listen, everybody, you guys can check me out at www.thinkingcorrectly.com. My fabulous daughter has helped me to update my website. I really want you guys to go there, check it out, give me your feedback. You guys can also check me out on Instagram, thinkingcorrectly.com, and you can always email me at ebrooks@thinkingcorrectly.com. Remember, fitness begins with thinking correctly, okay? Please take care of yourself.
I love it. I love it so much. Listen, thank you. We love you here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Until next time, Elizabeth, take care, stay healthy, and stay whole. All right, sister.
Bye-bye.
All right, Gina G with the Trinity. I say what she says, she got the Trinity. I say what she says, she got the Trinity. She got the Trinity. She got the Trinity for you and me. I say Gina G with the Trinity for you and me.
Yeah, I just want to do jazz hands, the little jazz fingers, you know, when you just hold your hand out and sprinkle your fingers. I want to do that every time you sing that song. I just feel like a jazz. I just want to dance. Okay. Let me give you guys this tea because you know it's for you and me. All right. John Stewart. You know that's my favorite part. John Stewart says that the Congress is abandoning veterans who inhale toxic burns. Burn pit fumes. So basically, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, of course, veterans who served in the military, there's these pits there that they have to stay in for a long period of time. And he just wants to pass a bill and say, hey, that these veterans deserve something for, getting sick and dying over these toxic fumes. So Ron Stewart, he's a comedian and actor. So it's always good to see people, you know, use their platform for a great cause. So I always love to hear about, you know, comedians or actors doing a great service. Also, you guys, mm-hmm. Japan has a new prime minister. Ooh, Japan is showing out, y'all. 71 years old. Okay, now look. Now I went to public school, and I don't need nobody judging me on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. This is a judge-free zone. So here we go with the name. Yoshinhai Suga. Yes, honey, I think I said the last name right. He's replaced Shinzo Abe, who was the leader of the world's third largest economy, and now they have a new prime minister. So Japan, you guys, they are looking up. They're getting somebody new, like we about to get something new. Hey, I'm saving it in the name of Jesus. new California law is going to help inmates to battle fires, post-prison firefighter jobs. So look here. You got any family member, any cousin, a baby daddy, uncle in jail in California, you better write them a nice long letter and tell them to get their stuff together if they want to get some free time and fight these fires. I think it's a really good thing, though, honestly, because they do have a shortage of firefighters, and not only the shortage, of course, and then with the new climate change and with all of these fires that they're having from California to Oregon to Washington, I really think this could be very beneficial. And I think that prison should be something like this anyway, if you ask me. I'm not going to change the prison system by myself, but I really think, I don't know who made prison be a place where you just sit in a box and eat and watch TV, because I don't know who did that. But putting them to work sounds pretty good to me. I don't know about you, Jim. There was a teen who saved a mom, you guys, and three children from a burning car. Listen to this, because we don't get this a lot. Right now, it's so much going on. We're going to get to Breonna Taylor, Lord. But there's so much going on. We have to just give Justin Gavin from Connecticut. He's a teenager who was walking down the street when he saw a small SUV covered in flames. Listen to me now. A teenager being a car on fire. Now, he walking towards danger, because I don't know if my son would be so quick. But I'm telling you, this teenage boy, he did it, you guys. He saved a woman and her three children. He pulled them out of the car safely. The car was just full of flames, you guys. And I can't imagine being in that situation, not knowing who's around. And then here comes this little boy, and I'm like, Lord, you sure this little boy gonna save me and my three children? And he sure did, you guys. So we just want to send our love to Justin Gavin and the family for recovering from that in Connecticut. Whew. All right, you guys, I'm going to get to this, and I'm going to leave y'all alone because there's so much going on. You know, the Trump rally, he didn't violate it. 3,000, we ain't even going to talk about that. We go get down to the nitty-gritty. Breonna Taylor, who was killed in her home with a no-knock warrant in March. That's been part of the protest along with George Floyd. The city of Louisville settled a wrongful death suit filed by family of Breonna Taylor. So Breonna Taylor's family have received the $12 million. With this settlement, Gina, it's very tricky. And I'm going to wait till this plays out before I kind of give my full opinion on, because I'm not in the law enforcement. I'm not in Congress. So I got to read, honey. And I'm talking about word for word. But I just want you guys to know, with that settlement, it is that none of the police officers can be charged in the death of Breonna Taylor and the shooting of her boyfriend who was in the home as well. So that's what we've been fighting for. That's what we've been marching for. That's what we've been getting in trouble for, being out here in the streets, you know, during the pandemic marching. So I'm really going to hold my judgment, Gina, on this story until everything fully plays out, because right now I'm crushed because it's like,
yeah. Well, a lot of people put their effort into it, but they say the attorney general, general is supposed to be looking into it, Gina. I don't know what that means. Did you hear about that?
Say that again.
The attorney general is supposed to be looking into that.
Yes. So that's what I was saying. It's so much. There's going to be more to this. This is definitely not, they got $12 million and that's the end of this, you know, this case. So you guys still need to be on the lookout. But yeah, I heard they're going to fight it. Gene, I just can't imagine how people are just feeling, you know, going to war for this case and to get justice for these police officers that killed this young lady. And, you know, to hear that it may be all over for $12 million, it's kind of hurtful, but we don't know their situation. You know, something my husband brought to my attention, you know, we don't know. Yeah. And for the family, $12 million, I'm sure, can help out a lot. Let me just get $200. from that 12, okay, and I will be all right. But you just never know. So I'm going to continue, you guys, as well as I hope you do, follow this story, and I'll be able to give my complete, you know, I don't know, Gina.
Yeah. We're going to let them figure it out, y'all. Well, this has been Gina G with the Trinity, and she said
it. Yes, it has.
All right. Okay. That's your outro.
You and me.
That's your new outro.
Outro coming up, y'all. I like that. Just hold on. We're going to work on the outro.
She said it. Oh, God. Oh, my God. My girl, Kaylin Carlson is on. Hey, Kaylin. Welcome to Dr. Gina's radio chat.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Gina.
Oh, you are so welcome, Kaylin. Gina G's on with us. And so we're talking about, you're the founder of Choose Grace International. Tell us briefly about that whole organization. What's it stand for? What's it doing?
So Choose Grace International is a nonprofit organization that I founded just about 2 years ago. And it came about because, you know, I had an abortion and it was traumatic for me. And, you know, I lived a life in shame, regret, despair. And at my lowest point, you know, I just really wanted to die. And there was a situation that happened, and I just felt God opening up the heavens and saying, Kaylin, you can live a life in shame and despair, or you can choose my grace, which is sufficient for you, but you have to decide what do you decide right now today. And I just lifted my hand, Dr. Gina, up, and I said, I choose your grace. And so that's how the ministry name came about, Choose Grace International.
Wow, that's such a powerful story. I mean, Gina, what do you think about that? Isn't that like really powerful for her to step out like that when so many people don't even talk about that?
Yes, because I also had one, and you know, a lot of people don't talk about it. A lot of people have them and they try to forget about them. They try to, you know, never speak of them again, like nothing ever happened. So it's very, very refreshing to know that someone can speak out and help those that have been in the same situation.
So
I commend
people.
You for stepping out. I really do.
And then with this Summit of Grace, that's what that's all about. Tell us about this Summit of Grace that's coming up.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to share and for your courage of sharing your abortion story. So the Summit of Grace, I I like to research, and I was researching toxic shame, and I came across this term called moral injury. And moral injury is a fairly new term that they're using with combat veterans because some of the secular treatments were not really getting to the core issue. And, you know, a lot of times combat veterans suffer from PTSD and from suicide. And so there's been a lot of research done, you know, for trying to help the combat veterans heal from their wounds. And so this term was, the term is called moral injury, and it was coined by Jonathan Shea. And it, I feel like it is the missing piece that women and men in society need to understand how our conscience works. You know, so many times we say, when we talk about abortion, we say, well, morals aside. But to do that is discounting a big piece of our heart and our core being. So the definition of moral injury, there's like components to it. So moral injury is when there is a betrayal of what's right. So either you had someone betray you or you betrayed yourself. So there's a betrayal of what's right by someone in a legitimate authority or by oneself in a high-stakes situation. Well, nothing for women can be more high-stakes situation than the life or the death of the child. And we know through research that it is not an easy procedure to do, you know, if you have the moral compass that, you know, so many times we call it a fetus or, you know, we've been told it's a blob of tissue. But when you find out you're pregnant, it's like dogs will have puppies, cats will have kittens, women will have babies. And so it takes a lot to morally disengage. It was for me to morally disengage in order for me to have that abortion, which was a lot of fear-based. Well, then what we know is, you know, we're trying to survive because we feel like we don't have any other choice or options. We have to do this because we're in a crisis situation. Well, what happens is after that, you know, the left brain shuts down, and then comes in the right brain where you get all the emotions. And that happens after the abortion. You know, yes, there is a relief because you're unpregnant, but what you have to face then is your conscience and the baby part with the emotional turmoil. And so that's what happens. That's what, you know, women that suffer, you know, and there's people that are very resilient, but then there's some people that, you know, are harmed. Like I was harmed. I was traumatized. I suffered from PTSD and the moral injury piece. So when I discovered this term, I'm like, that is it. This is the missing key that we need to help people understand how abortion can harm and to understand themselves better, too.
I love it. I'm so thankful. Like, you know, I shared my testimony on the summit. And like you, Gina, I have had abortion. You know, I've had a couple. And so for me, it was just kind of, I don't know, just kind of living through the moment, just trying to get through one turmoil, through one trauma, through the next. And it does kind of leave you like kind of like a shell shocked. You know what I'm saying? Like it just kind of leaves you like that. And you're numb and you don't really realize. That's why I love the summit so much. Please tell everybody where they can get involved, be a part of it, witness it, all of that. How can they get a part of the summit?
So the Summit of Grace, I've interviewed, we're going to have 50 speakers, and they're going to be professionals, people sharing their story, pastors. It's a conglomerate of, you know, wonderful people that share their expertise, and it's Summit of Grace, so you can register for free. It's a free event coming September 25th, 26th, and 27th, summitofgrace.com. It's a free registration, but you have to register. Register there, summitofgrace.com. And again, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 25th, 26th, and 27th, a free event. It's a love gift. It's like 35 years of my research and experience and my healing, and I just pray for healing on our nation and healing for everyone.
I pray for that too, Kaylin. And you know you're my love bug. I love you so much. Gina, she's so cute. Wow. She's like this little Barbie. You just want to put her in, in your pocket. She's so cute. I love her.
Dr. Gina, thank you. That just means the world to me because I do need to share something that is heartbreaking to me that I think that, you know, women, you know, Black American women or, you know, just even Black women need to understand that, you know, when you think about racism, you all have been targeted if you don't know that. And they've put abortion facilities in your areas of living because of they want you to abort your babies. And like right now, the sad thing is, ladies, my fellow sisters in Christ, there are more babies' lives lost in New York City than Black babies born alive. So the population, I mean, you just think about those consequences. And, you know, what I grieve for that because when you talk about racism, that's the biggest racism that I feel like needs to be woken in your community. I just love all of you and just would love to hug you and just to say, you know, this is what's happening. Please wake up.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? On Dr. Gina's radio chat today, we have sounded the alarm from the beginning to the end with Kaylin Carlson. And I believe that we should take heed to what the Lord is saying. And I really appreciate you, Kaylin. I know that your grievance is very sincere. I've sat and talked to you for 3 days about all of the research that you've done. You've put the time in. God has led you, gave you favor to so many different people. As you will see, if you go into the summit, register, get all you need from this. It even if it's just awareness. Or if you know someone, or maybe you'll be even more equipped if you haven't had an abortion, maybe you know someone that's contemplating that, you'll be equipped in so many different ways, more than any of my friends were back in the day. No offense, but they didn't know. They didn't know what we were doing. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. God has given her and equipped her with the tools that she can pass on her and all of the other speakers right along with you. Again, I'm one of the speakers. Kaylin is one of the speakers and so many other amazing doctors, psychiatrists, all of that, right? You got all of that going on at the summit. Register right now. Go register. Tell them one more time, Kaylin.
Summitofgrace.com. Summitofgrace.com. Yes.
Right now, guys.
Right now, it's free. So why not? Okay. Kaylin Carlson, my friend, my sister, I love you, love you, love you. Shout out to Dina in case she's listening and everybody that we're connected to, your assistant. Love them all. Great job. Great job. Tim, producer, everybody that's putting this together.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I am so honored.
You're welcome. And we got to have you back afterwards. After this is over, we're going to, you know, do a recap. I love you so much.
I love you too. Thank you.
You're Thank welcome. You. All right, Gina G, what you think? Today's show full, right?
Today's show full of greatness, as always. Even when live radio sometimes, we don't want it to be live. We still have a good time.
Always tell us about your show coming up tomorrow. We got a couple of minutes.
Okay,
a couple of seconds.
On Thursdays, I do Chit Chat in the Closet. Last Thursday, I had Marvin Dixon on. He's been on Dr. Gina's radio chat before, a comedian out of Miami. But this week, I'm going to have a comedian out of Brooklyn, New York, Wavy McGuire. So you guys make sure you guys tune in if you want to go on to my Instagram. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be over to Facebook and YouTube really soon, you guys, so look forward to that. But I'm just a Gina classic chat girl. That's it.
Gina G too funny. Listen, you guys, live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. We're loving you. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.